A story was told by the theologian William Abraham of an extremely wealthy miser who never gave anything to help the poor or the suffering. Everyone in his land thought he was greedy, selfish, and heartless. After he died, however, the story of his life and his character drastically changed. His last will and testament revealed that he left all his wealth to the poor, and that his wealth was an inheritance from a relative, granted on the condition of his promise that he never give any money to the poor and never reveal this promise during his lifetime. These revelations in his will totally rewrote everyone's understanding of his character. There was far more to the story. When it comes to the evil in this world, there is also far more to the story. Many consider the problem of evil to be the most difficult question that faces Christianity. If God is good and all-powerful, why is there so much evil? In one of his parables, Jesus answers this question in one sentence: an enemy has done this. There and elsewhere, Scripture tells the story of a great conflict, a cosmic conflict between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, which consists of angels led by Satan who rebelled against God and his government. Yet, many wonder, how could there be any conflict between the all-powerful God and a mere creature like the devil in the first place? If God exercised all his power, there would be no contest. If there is a conflict between God and Satan, then it must not be a conflict of sheer power, but a conflict of another kind. It is a conflict over Satan's slanderous allegations against God's character and God's government, through which Satan seeks to win the hearts and minds of creatures to take God's place. Allegations against one's character, however, cannot be effectively answered by force. A person in power using force to silence his or her accusers would only make the accusations worse. The only way to defeat such allegations is to show them to be false by demonstration. This God does through the plan of salvation, in which God himself works within parameters to defeat the enemy's slanderous allegations, not by force, but by openly displaying his character and government to the scrutiny of all, so that all can see for themselves that God is only love. This God does not for his own sake. He possesses the sheer power to uproot Satan immediately. But for the sake of the entire universe, he does this. If such allegations were not met by a demonstration, creatures would fear God rather than trust and love him, short-circuiting the very foundation of the good and flourishing of the universe itself, which is love. For the sake of all the creatures in the universe, God submits himself to parameters in which he eventually gives himself to die in Christ, providing the ultimate demonstration simultaneously of both the utter evil of Satan and the utter righteousness and love of God. Like the revelation that the extremely wealthy man was temporarily restricted from sharing his wealth completely changes our understanding of his life and character, understanding that God is working within parameters, working around impediments in the context of a cosmic war between good and evil, profoundly illuminates our understanding of God's character and God's government of this world. When many people look at our world, they assume that because God is all-powerful, as the Bible teaches, God can do just anything he may want to do at any time. But as perfectly good by nature, God cannot deny himself. He cannot do anything that contradicts his nature, such as lie or break his promises. This means that if God makes any promises or commitments, his future actions would be limited to be in keeping with those promises. We see evidence of some parameters or rules that even God has promised to abide by all throughout Scripture. In Mark 6, Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and the people were offended at him, and Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. According to Matthew 13, verse 58, Christ did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In some way, the people's unbelief limited Jesus' ability to work miracles there. This indicates that some parameters in the cosmic conflict are in place. Here, those parameters are linked to faith. Later in the book of Mark, a father pleads with Christ's disciples to cast a demon out of his son, but they can't. Still later, the father pleads with Jesus, and Jesus replies, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer." Here again, we see some rules involved in the cosmic conflict, this time linked to prayer. In my new book, Why We Pray, Understanding Prayer in the Context of Cosmic Conflict, I address this and many other questions about prayer much further. Here, let me simply emphasize that Jesus himself repeatedly called Satan the ruler of this world. And John wrote further, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." If so, the devil must have been granted some considerable jurisdiction and rulership over this world within some specific boundaries, or what I call rules of engagement. Another striking instance appears in Daniel chapter 10. There we find the prophet Daniel in exile, fervently praying for understanding for 3 entire weeks. How long? 3 weeks. And from the first day, the Bible says, God heard Daniel's words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood God's angel for 21 days. The angel arrived only after Michael came to help. Now, many scholars believe this prince of Persia is a demonic ruler working behind Persia's human ruler. But how could an angel sent by God be withstood for 3 weeks? As all-powerful, God had the power to immediately respond to Daniel. Yet Scripture presents a genuine conflict here between the forces of darkness and the forces of goodness. For this to take place, the enemy must be afforded some genuine freedom and power that God does not remove arbitrarily, restricted by some rules of engagement known to both parties. This provides a framework for why evil sometimes seems to run rampant in our world. People often ask, why didn't God prevent that evil? This framework supports the following answer. He would if he could. I do not mean he lacks any power, but that he would prevent any such evil event if he could do so without denying his nature, breaking his promises, or otherwise undermining love. While we might think God should have taken this or that course of action, for all we know, such courses were not morally available to God. While God wants to prevent every evil, doing so in some cases would either undermine free will, and thus love itself, be against the rules of engagement to which God has committed himself in the heavenly court, or result in greater evil or less flourishing of love. This world looks like a war zone because it is one. But it is not a war of sheer power. It is one over love itself. And God will not compromise goodness and love. It is good versus evil, selfishness versus love. So what can we do in the midst of it? We can take hope that God is love, and the victory is assured. Christ has assured victory for all who have faith in him via the cross. Second, spread love and hope to others. God is working, and he calls you to work as well. Everything is not as God wants. He calls you and me to be a force for good in this world. So not only should you take hope in the true King, but give someone else hope by making a difference in their life today, in the name of the true King.